You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
It's the first time that Apple have actually decided to tell people about something that they're developing.
High-speed broadband. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
The three main spamming countries are the United States, China, and South Korea.
And I've got some residual powers.
Sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Senator Clinton, the voice of reason.
There's a couple of systems on a gantry that's actually based on a military missile tracking system.
You put the date on ePray, and you get a whole service just on it.
How does it go?
IE7, you were having trouble installing it because you had a genuine copy of Windows that wouldn't validate properly. What did you have to do to get past that?
Built a new machine.
But how hard can it be?
Well, it's not hard at all.
At the end of the day, the photography is all about the person's eye and what they see.
If you find something that's inappropriate about your child, you need to do something about it because it will not go away.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Tonight, we're going to talk about blogging. Over time, we've all heard some good things and not so good things about blogs. A blog is short for web log, a specialized site that allows an individual or group of individuals to share a running log of events and personal insights with an online audience. Blogs with a political or current event theme have grown in popularity and become soapboxes for instant mass audience commentary. You could even consider sites like YouTube as a blog site, albeit with a video nature. Adam Turner recently spoke on Tech Talk Radio about the grey line between a blog and a journalistic or editorial piece and asked the question, should journalists blog? Journalistic pieces should be free of bias and a balanced reporting of an event or situation, whereas a blog is considered personal and contains opinion. As you can see, it's quite easy to mistake a blog for an editorial piece if it's written by a journalist. But what of blogs in business? More and more businesses are seeing the advantage of blogging. Not only does it give the author the ability to communicate with his or her audience online, it can also aid in driving traffic to a website. Today on Tech Talk Radio, James Farmer joins us live in the studio to talk about blogs, and in particular, WordPress and WordCamp. James is an expert in the design and development of social websites. WordPress is one of the world's largest free blogging sites, where anyone and everyone can set up a free blog in a matter of minutes. But then what? Well, WordCamp can help you get the most from your blog, from fun and games to making money, and James will tell us more.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Lydia Davis talks WordPress for dummies, Adobe fixes PDF bugs, Coonan trumpets a United Nations WiMAX decision, Skype and Triple O just don't see eye to eye, and Microsoft buys a $240 million share in Facebook. All that and more in Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio. But first, let's find out what's been making news in the tech world this week.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, a Melbourne researcher increases broadband speeds, Leopard on the loose, Microsoft ends its fight with the European Union and buys a piece of Facebook, and Crazy John dead at just 42. Welcome to Tech Talk News. A researcher at the University of Melbourne has developed new technology which may allow broadband internet connections to reach over 100 megabits per second over existing copper phone lines. Dr. John Papandreopoulos was last week awarded the university's Chancellor's Prize for Excellence in the PhD thesis for his work on the new techniques. Rather than concentrating on faster or stronger signals, Dr. Papandreopoulos has concentrated on reducing the effects of interference between individual lines in the cables, which is a major factor limiting the speeds of current technologies. In theory, the new system can achieve speeds up to 250 megabits per second. However, researchers are aiming for 100 megabits per second in real-world situations. This is a major boost compared with around 20 megabits for the best ADSL 2 Plus speeds available today, and even compares well to fibre optic cables, which cost much more to roll out. Patents are being applied for in both Australia and the US, and the new technology could be ready for commercial applications in 3 or 4 years. Dr. Papandreopoulos is expected to leave Australia next month to work for a US startup company with other leaders in DSL technology. Apple's latest version of its OS X operating system, known as Leopard, or OS 10.5, has hit the streets. The upgrade is selling for $159 Australian dollars and is sure to lure many users of the previous version, known as Tiger or 10.4. This is the first major upgrade since the release of Intel-based Macs, and Apple claims it adds around 300 new features, with versions available for both PowerPC and Intel-based machines. At Apple shops around the world, hundreds of people have lined up to buy a copy, many using vouchers from the recent iPhone pricing fiasco to offset the price. Others have pre-ordered copies from the Apple website or online retailers such as Amazon. Of the new features, an automatic backup system, known as Time Machine, seems to be a Mac fan favourite, with a number of user interface innovations also causing interest. Microsoft has withdrawn from its last two appeals in European courts, ending a series of legal battles over the last several years. The Europeans had previously won court cases leading to hundreds of millions of euros in fines over the company's use of market dominance to squeeze out competitors. The decision by Microsoft ends one appeal over a 280 million euro fine and another over a court order that Microsoft license its trade secrets openly. Competitors, including some open source projects, are tipped to take advantage of the decision to create products that either compete with or interoperate with Microsoft's products. One such project is the Samba project, which allows Linux systems to participate in Windows networks for sharing files and printers. In other Microsoft news, a deal with social networking site Facebook will give Microsoft a 1.6% stake in the company, along with full control of advertising on the site. The deal will cost Microsoft $240 million US dollars, valuing Facebook at around $15 billion US. Google, which had previously shown interest in Facebook, is seen as having a significant lead over Microsoft in the advertising field. However, with 59% of Facebook users outside the US, it is believed that Microsoft see the site as an opportunity to grow its advertising reach to a global market. It is Facebook's rate of growth that makes it stand out from other social networking sites. The company estimates its user base is currently doubling every 6 months, and the new deal sets it up to be able to continue to grow at this rate. Company officials have also said that they hope to employ around 700 people by the end of 2008, roughly double today's total. The founder of the Crazy John's mobile phone company, John Ilhan, has died in Melbourne at the age of 42. Mr. Ilhan collapsed while walking near his home in the Melbourne suburb of Brighton and could not be revived by ambulance paramedics. Emigrating from Turkey with his parents at the age of 5 and growing up in the Melbourne working-class suburb of Broadmeadows, John Ilhan opened his first mobile phone shop in Melbourne in 1991. His company, Crazy John's, later grew to 120 outlets around Australia, employing around 700 people, and became Australia's largest independent mobile phone retailer. He also became one of Australia's richest men, believed to have been worth over $300 million. Crazy John's Managing Director, Brendan Fleiter, spoke at a press conference on what drove Mr. Ilhan to his success.
I can tell you it wasn't money, it was success, is what drove John. To be the best at what he did, to give customers what they want. He always talked about the customers. And he understood customers. He came from humble circumstances. He understood what it was like to be a normal, average Australian. And he was in touch with customers and people. He often would travel around the country taking his staff bowling, out for dinner. He was a proud person, but also a humble person and someone who could relate to ordinary people.
Thousands of mourners attended his funeral, held in a Broadmeadows mosque on Friday near where he grew up. He is survived by his parents, wife and 4 children. I'm Graham Callaghan, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Mark, what's happening with CDMA closure? Have you heard any more gossip?
They're still continuing to look for problems, drive test the network and that. Depending on how much traffic's carried at the time they switch it off, they could be desperate for that extra frequency, those CDMA frequencies.
Because it's a finite resource, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
If someone comes out with a better method than the Google keyword search that allows you to get to more precisely what you want, they would have a chance of competing with Google.
Fair enough.
What what was that Firefox plugin that blocks ads? Can we?
Oh, let's talk about computer games. Are you guys computer game players?
I believe it's the biggest computer game development project ever undertaken in Australia.
If it's not someone sitting in the passenger seat, it's the thing saying turn left. Next
in 300 meters, yeah, exactly. Turn left.
Well, let's face it, TV is pretty boring these days.
If they could only improve their practices, they'd save a lot more petrol than 15%.
And everybody in the office laughs.
Don't feed the conspiracy theories about Dr. Ron not existing.
You're sounding out of breath, Dr. Ron. What are you doing?
Never mind.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show that is Tech Talk Radio, the green show, Tech Talk Radio. Everyone else is green, so I can't see why we can't be green either. Dr. Ron, conspiracy theories, are you real?
Oh, yeah, I'm real. I'm here this week. I must be real.
Yes. Thank you for calling in last week. That was a very valiant effort considering the current circumstances.
Considering the situation at the time.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it's good to be back this week. I had withdrawal symptoms last week, but I'll be with you for at least the next 4 or 5 episodes, I'm sure. Yeah. I can see that far into the future.
Fantastic. That'll just about take us up to our Christmas show.
It will. Yeah.
And then Christmas we go into recess. We all go and eat our play lunch and come back in February.
We'll have a Christmas special for you.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Will we? Mm. Oh, good.
You'll have a Christmas special for us.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good, good. Graham, what are you doing around Christmas time? How are you?
Eating my play lunch, apparently. I'm well, Andrew.
Hey, good. Yeah, it could be in here eating your play lunch. Yeah, that'd be exciting. Technical dilemmas? Anything happened this week? It was a slow news week, wasn't it? Apart from John Hillhan. May he rest in peace.
Yes.
That was sad news about Crazy John.
Yeah.
Very well-known and respected personality in the telecommunications industry in Australia.
And a bit of a philanthropist to boot, which is, it's good when people can put back what they take from the community. So
certainly is, yeah.
I must admit, I've had a bit of an interesting week with technology again. Graham, I was going to actually...
What have you done this week?
It's not what I've done, it's what my machines haven't done. Now, you sing the virtues of this Microsoft backup thing, don't you? You like the Microsoft backup program?
I say that it works for some things, yeah.
Yeah? What do you mean, some things?
Well, it depends on what you expect.
Well, I was trying to do the BAS, the group tax and the wages and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And for some strange reason, the wages book has decided to become vaporware and disappeared off and it's been corrupt. So I thought I'd go back to the backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you ever tried going back to a Windows backup? I don't know, maybe I had the settings wrong, but there were about 16 backup dates. And
oh, yes, you've got to find the right one.
Yes.
And expand it out, yes.
Yes, and when you've been running backups for months automated, there's a lot.
That's right. It can get confusing.
That's stupid. Sorry, Microsoft, but I just think that's bizarre. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just sort of like add the right one and...
I think because the program's got a legacy in tapes. Back in the days when that was a lot more common, even on smaller machines, and you would go back to the tape that was on that day. So where you're backing up to file and it doesn't realise that it's the same file that it's overwriting every night, then it can think that it's different tapes when it's not.
Is there anything better these days than Microsoft Backup? I used to use something else, but I can't remember now.
There's a few around. There's one I use is current. It's been sold about 4 times since I started using it. It's currently a Symantec product called Backup Exec.
Oh yeah, any good? Why is it better than Microsoft, or isn't it?
It's much, much bigger.
I don't use third-party backup programs. I
was talking to you before the show. You just like doing it manually, don't you?
I do. That's how I know it's done. I know where everything's backed up to. I know when I last did it. I know what's there.
The problem with that is you don't get...
there's no automation. There's no automation.
And that's what I need. You lose information. You don't back up things like the registry and the system state and the permissions on files and...
That's true,
all
Graham,
the metadata that goes with files often gets lost in those sorts of situations. Yep. So.
Anyway, the dilemma continues to backup. Yes. How to back up? Mm-hmm. That's the question.
So did you find your missing file in the end?
No.
Did you figure out the right one to expand out?
I lost interest. It was going to be quicker because I'm not kidding you. There was hundreds of these little things. And I thought, God, it's going to be quicker just to resurrect the file and to go back and find the right one.
They've all got the date on them.
They're all the same date. It's something about the file naming system that it uses. Anyway, I lost interest after about half an hour and I thought, oh, gosh, it's got to be something easier than this. Mm. Anyway, that's backing up. Dr. Ron?
Daylight savings. How'd your clocks go?
Oh, yeah, my server's
had a daylight savings hemorrhage again, as what happened last year.
You did have a daylight savings hemorrhage last time, I remember.
Yeah, because I went to do my automated, speaking of backups, I went to do my clone from one server to another, and all the clocks are skew-iff, and of course it decides it wants to clone everything again because it thinks it's a year out or something like that. So
most Windows systems handle it pretty well these days, though.
Oh, yeah, Windows, getting it right. The Windows systems handled it absolutely beautifully. All clocks changed and they were spot on. It's just the cloning software that I use, which decided it was, I think you have to reboot the machines or something. It has to do something after daylight savings changes or something like that.
So rogue software on your system.
Rogue? It's damn fine software, thank you very much. It's just the daylight savings throws it, and I should realise this each and every year.
I got some feedback from Brian during the week.
Yeah.
You were talking about the BBC on the last show.
We were.
The comments that were made about the BBC, while true, didn't highlight the main reason why the BBC are cutting jobs. The main reason why the BBC are cutting jobs, planning to sell Television Centre and merging radio, web and TV news, is that the licence fee level allowed by the government leaves the BBC with a £2 billion shortfall. They're also moving some of their operations out of London to places like Manchester in the north of England. For those of us who live in the north, that could be a positive thing.
Oh, is he in the UK?
He is. So thanks for the feedback, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
It's good to get a bit more information about the background of these stories. We don't always get it because we get...
We're down here in the colonies. We only get, you know, a little bit. But no, that's nice to know. We were discussing. Did you hear that part of the show, Dr. Ron?
I did. Very interesting. Mm.
Yes, that they're rationalising a lot of their resources now and moving into the online world. Not unlike what the ABC do here in our country, where everything's podcast, vodcast, you name it, you can go and find it, except they do block the chaser in some countries, I found out. If you'd like to communicate with us while we're live on air, you might be listening on the stream anywhere in the world. You might be listening to us in Cairns, where we go to air on Cairns FM, or down south in Huon. Lovely part of Tasmania, or across over in the west. Yeah, wherever you might be listening to us, feedback@techtalkradio.com.au is our email address.
We've got a newfangled electronic message service number thing.
Don't do that to me.
It starts with 04 something.
I had it here. Thanks.
Well, while you look for that, if anyone else wants
Graham to... Graham will read another number and then I'll read one.
Anyone wants to ring up and leave a message for us...
Someone's taken my box, which is in it too, so anyway.
...that we might play to air, 1300 664 882... 1300 664 882. We get in trouble for rushing through these numbers.
Oh, do we?
Don't we?
Yeah. We'll get back to you with the SMS number. That's the new fandangled number.
After the first break.
And if you're listening overseas, +613 9012 5362.
Now let's talk technology, because after all, that's what we're here for. Skype evades the ACMA's 000, or the emergency service number. Now, Dr. Ron, you know a bit about these things. What's going on here? Because there was an issue which was raised, and we had a few correspondence from some of our listeners earlier this evening, earlier last show, I think, about how 000 can't be reached by some of these VoIP numbers because they're not geographically assigned or something, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. The Australian IT News reported Australian VoIP providers will soon be faced with regulation requiring them to provide access to emergency service numbers, but operators such as Skype will slip under the radar.
How come?
Well,
because you can get a Skype out number, can't you?
Yeah, you can. There's a much broader problem here which needs to be addressed, and that is that there is no international numbering plan for telephone numbers. It's the most that we can do in this country, or that countries can do individually, to manage and coordinate their own numbering plan. But if you tried to actually introduce this globally, it wouldn't work. It can't work with the way that we've got systems set up at the moment. So we have 000 in, or 000, they say now, in Australia, in parts of the United States, 911, in the United Kingdom.
What do you mean, parts of the United States? I thought it was all.
No, it's not. Yeah, they've got their own service centres and emergency numbers in different parts of the US.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, in the UK, it's 999, and then... Yeah, in other parts of the world, they've got their own numbers as well. So the issue is that...
112 for mobiles.
112 for mobiles is the GSMs. Yep. When that came in, they introduced...
And how many people misdial that when they're ringing directories? I want to know.
Wow, that's exactly right. And the implication is that...
Are we the only country which has an IVR for press 5 when you ring from a mobile to an emergency services number?
No, America does. I've heard it on The Simpsons. Yeah.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet or hear on The Simpsons.
Sorry,
Graham.
If you know the name of the crime being committed, press 1.
I have something. Heard that, yeah. Yes. Sorry, we digress.
Yeah, so internationally, look, Skype can't possibly try and support all the different numbering plans for all of the different phone networks that there are in the world. And if the Australian government said, if anyone dials 000 on a Skype client, it has to be extended to the emergency services, they go, what? How are we going to do that? No, it's not going to happen. Sorry. Bye-bye. So I think the way that they're going to get around it is that if a voice over IP provider is providing their own infrastructure, then they have to comply with this legislation. If they're piggybacking off an internet connection like Skype are going to be, there's not going to be a legislative requirement for them to do this.
So the moral of the story is don't use Skype to ring for your ambulance or fire or police, really.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
Use a real phone.
Yeah.
Or your mobile.
Adobe fixes PDF bugs. Software maker Adobe has released patches for critical security vulnerabilities found in some versions of its Reader and Acrobat products. Graham, have you heard about these?
I've heard about it. I didn't catch a lot of the detail. I gather it's another one of these. It can open another program type.
Yeah, it's an email thing. If you get a PDF like your bill.pdf or invoice.pdf, once you open it up on your email, it's a bit of a nasty thing where these people who are this way inclined send you an email with a PDF in it. You open up and it executes some code on your software. So,
yeah.
If you can do patches and updates from the Adobe product, because if your Adobe product is like mine, you'll be asked to update it nearly every day. Yep. Between Microsoft, Adobe, and all the other vendors these days, it's like...
And Java and everything else that keeps popping up.
Oh, right. Please update
it is,
this.
It is a bit of a problem. With Adobe products, if you want to be sure, it's on the help menu on Adobe products. Go to help, check for updates.
Yeah, so visit Adobe if you can't do it automatically, because everyone uses Acrobat, so that's a pretty important one to go and do.
Absolutely.
Microsoft have had a bit of a win in its first quarter profits, rose 23%.
Thanks to
that video game. See, not operating systems, it's dead in the water.
Oh, it's all from selling
Xboxes.
It's all
from Halo 3.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so they're doing fairly well at the moment, and their shares have gone up. So, and they've been buying things. They bought a bit of Facebook, didn't they?
Huge splurge on Facebook. That was in the news, I think.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
They just needed to get some market share, apparently. Mm. And this is the... You read between the lines. This is because Google is being such a threat to them, I think, in respect to their world domination. Because yeah. Google's now the most sought-after web page. I think we mentioned that probably 6 months ago.
Yeah, Google are also one of the world's biggest advertising companies, which is that's how they make their money. It's not what we see them as providing, but it's how they make their money is from advertising. And I think Microsoft are wanting to catch up a little bit. So the deal on Facebook is all about advertising. Part of the second half of the deal, apart from buying a share in Facebook, was buying the rights not only for the US advertising, which they already had, but for the worldwide advertising on Facebook.
Mm.
And I think that's what's driving Microsoft there.
Well, the CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, basically said that he just downplayed all these threats the other day when they were talking about it. In fact, they just had a bit of a powwow in their Silicon Valley headquarters of recent. Lyd was there the other day. She sent some great pictures back. We'll talk about that later on as well. And they've just basically solidified their vision of the future, which involves a lot of advertising and Facebook and all that sort of stuff as well. So,
yeah, well, Google had showed interest in Facebook in the past, but didn't seem as interested in it more recently. And I think they've got their own alternatives to Facebook that do a similar thing, their own social networking sites.
All right. So there you go. That's sort of a bit of a wrap of the week and all that sort of stuff that's been coming out. So what we're going to do now, have a bit of a listen to Adam Turner. We all love Adam's editorial. Yeah.
How is Adam?
Yeah, he's good. He might call in. You never know.
What's he fired up about this week?
Well, this week we're going to be talking about the Australian digital entertainment revolution.
Oh, yes.
They're grand words. But Channel 7, High Def.
Mm-hmm.
Last week he told everyone how Channel 7 got all the High Def viewers' noses out of joint because they changed the program on the High Def channel and didn't tell anyone. So this week we're going to have a bit of a look at Ice TV. Well, I won't steal his thunder. Here's Adam's View from the Couch.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch on Tech Talk Radio.
Australia's digital entertainment providers are bracing for impact as the Seven Network prepares to unleash TiVo next year. Two of Australia's digital entertainment underdogs have joined forces with RealTime to offer video downloads to users of Ice TV's controversial electronic program guide. Ice TV users will be able to download real-time movies and television shows, games and music to Ice TV compatible devices, such as Topfield and BeyondWiz personal video recorders, as well as media center computers. The deal between RealTime and Ice TV would seem to be a match made in heaven. They offer complementary services targeting almost the exact same user base, and both companies are planning for expansion after a tumultuous year. Only 6 months ago, Sony Pictures Entertainment came to RealTime's financial rescue, snapping up almost $1 million of RealTime shares. Since then, RealTime has announced its own media center PC, signed a major distribution deal with Easy DVD, and acquired the xpmediacentre.com.au forum. Meanwhile, this year Ice TV won its David and Goliath legal battle against the Packer-backed Nine Network after Nine claimed Ice TV's electronic program guide infringed on the network's copyright. Now, the magic ingredient in the deal between Real Time and Ice TV has to be the Easy DVD chain of retail stores. A bricks and mortar partner will help both Real Time and Ice TV expand beyond the limited media center user base and break into the mainstream market. This is vital if they're both going to survive next year's arrival of the 800-pound gorilla that is TiVo. The iconic personal video recorder is set to be unleashed in Australia by the Seven Network in time for the Beijing Olympics, which should be shown in 1080i high definition for the first time. TiVo is a game changer for Australia, not only because of the technology and the brand recognition, but because it will be backed by the triumvirate of Seven, Engine and Unwired. Seven is using Engine, a consumer VoIP provider, as its TiVo distribution arm, which makes sense because both products are targeted at mums and dads users with broadband internet access. Seven can also utilize Engine's billing system rather than reinvent the wheel. Now, a broadband link is essential for Seven's TiVo plans, both in terms of viewers downloading content and as a back channel for monitoring what they've been watching. Engine is set to start selling DSL broadband connections this year, while Seven's stake in Metropolitan Wireless broadband provider Unwired will provide the vital internet link to TiVos that can't be reached via copper or cable. Seven is putting the pieces in place for a massive TiVo onslaught in 2008, having negotiated a free-to-air EPG with the other networks through Free TV Australia, which could make Ice TV redundant. Now, if the Amazon TiVo video download deal in the US is anything to go by, Real Time should also expect some serious competition from TiVo in the not-too-distant future. If my enemy's enemy is my friend, then making friends is the best way for companies like Ice TV and Real Time to survive TiVo's Australian onslaught.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Compelling.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Judicious.
The question is really whether young people particularly are addicted to being connected to other people all the time.
Historical.
Today is a very important day in Australia's history. This is the day, the 6th of October in 2006, that life in Australia will be changed forever.
Caring.
I know as a parent, I would often say to my children, you've just spoken to this person for 8 hours at school, how can you sit online and chat to them for another 5 hours?
You heard of road rage?
What about web rage?
They should be wearing a mask and carrying a gun.
Relations between Telstra and the federal government have been extremely strained almost from the moment Sol Trujillo became chief executive.
Optus had, again, had quite a good quarter, but its 3G service is very low profile at the moment.
And the Queen's got an iPod.
Betty's got one.
Yeah.
I wonder what she listens to. She'll probably listen to us.
An unexpectedly high number of voters swamped the system. Well, what did they expect?
Controversial.
Less attention is paid to the equally interesting question, should journalists blog?
Magical.
And I've got some residual powers.
Ambitious.
High-speed broadband, it's available in most of Asia as well as being in the rest of the world. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
Religion.
Talking for the Roman Catholics, I have been on Vatican Radio.
Comedy.
You put the date on ePray, it goes, and you get a whole service just on it.
How does it go?
It goes.
Insightful, entertaining, and informative. Tech Talk Radio. More than just technology.
It's a strictly rehearsed and finely polished program.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You are indeed listening to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Dr. Ron and Graham Callaghan are here at the Tech Talk Radio panel this evening. And joining us on the panel will be right about now, James Farmer. Good evening, James.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you very much for making the pilgrimage across to the studio. By the way, that phone number for those that wanted to know for the text, which Dr. Ron caught me on the hop before, was...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you're right. 0430 582077. So for the people which don't have their electric pens, 0430 582 077. You can text us. You can text a question for James and all that sort of stuff throughout the course of the show. So there you go. Alrighty, let's talk about blogging. Dr. Ron, you're a blogger. You actually run your own WordPress system at home, don't you?
I do. I'm a blogger and I also have my own WordPress blog server. James, you'll be pleased to know. Happy with that?
Very impressive.
Yeah, it's a bit of a technical exercise on my part, but no, it's a lot of fun.
It is. I must admit, I've got a blog up there. I must admit, it hasn't been updated of late because I've just been a bit too busy because the actual takes time. You've got to write things. Did you know?
I guess you do have to make a commitment. There's a level of commitment that you need to put content there all the time. You need to keep it updated. You need to keep it fresh and current, don't you? Otherwise, people are just going
to... James, just move a bit closer to the microphone. Tell us a bit about what you do. What do you do? You develop social bloggy type sort of websites and things like that, do you, in your spare time?
I run a site as kind of my main occupation is a site called EduBlogs, which hosts over 100,000 teachers' blogs, basically.
In Victoria?
No,
or Australia-wide?
Around the world, actually.
Oh, global. Yeah. Oh, I like the way you're thinking.
we're an export industry. Somebody hear that and give us some money. We've probably about 80% over in the US, but we've got a lot of great Australian educators using it, and that's at eduBlogs.org. And besides that, I'm a partner in a business called Inksub.com, and we put together a blog.
Inksub.
Yeah, it's a great name, isn't it?
Should I ask you how you got it?
Deeply catchy, yeah. Cost us a fortune. It's INCSUB.com.
Okay, and what do you do there?
We build social websites. We build blog communities for social people.
So if I want a YouTube or a Facebook or something like that, I come to see you. Is that really what you're sort of saying?
Not really. We're not really into the into the direct clone of other popular websites. But what we do is we do a lot of work with WordPress and with WordPress multi-user specifically.
Okay. Well, let's talk about WordPress in a lot of respects. We're going to go to an interview very shortly. There's a new book that's just been released in the US by Lisa Sabin-Wilson about the Dummy's Guide to Blogging. You know, those red and black books, apparently. For those people that are new and starting blogging, we'll go to that in just a sec. But I guess, tell us a bit about the history of blogging, James. It's sort of, it's just a web blog, isn't it? It's like writing your life up online for everyone to read. But it's probably a bit more than that these days.
Well, these days, I mean, it certainly evolved. I mean, it was that. It was a journal. It was a way of sharing links or sharing resources with all sorts of different people. But nowadays, I mean, there's not much difference between a blog and a website.
No, exactly.
Well, it used to be a time when people would make their own personal web page and put information up there. If you think 10 years ago, they'd say, look, about me and what I do and this is where I work and this is where I go to school and everything else. But these days, the blogging software like WordPress has made it a lot more accessible. People don't actually have to
and
know.
And it's free.
It is free, and people don't actually have to know how to code web pages, which makes it so much more accessible to so many more people.
Well, absolutely. And, I mean, there's sites like EduBlogs and like WordPress.com, I suppose, more famously, that actually mean that you don't even need to know one bit of HTML.
That's the key to it, isn't it? Because that's where anyone can do it. Like, anyone can get on their web browser and go to any of the blog sites that you choose, whether it be WordPress or others, and away you go. You don't have to know much. You can start cutting and pasting out of your word processor, for goodness sakes.
Well, you certainly can, but there are degrees of quality amongst these blog sites.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the questions which Adam Turner, I guess one of our co-conspirators here on Tech Talk Radio, has brought up over the course of time is discerning between a blog and a journalistic piece. Now, this is interesting. Now, I know Google do this, but I don't know whether other engines do. How do you go about doing that sort of stuff? Or do you just not care? Do you just write a blog for the sake of it's an opinion piece and treat a blog for what it is? Or journalism type sort of things where
I've got a couple of opinions around that particular area. One of them, which has been less popular, I think, with the bloggerati, as you might call them,
so like paparazzi.
Well, we can go blogosphere. You know, we can add pretty much
the blogosphere. That's a common one. Yeah
the blogosphere. I think bloggerati, that might be a new one. But is this idea of citizen journalism? Doesn't it? I mean, to me, to be quite frank, it sucks. I mean, yeah, what's a citizen journalist? What's a citizen pilot? A citizen lawyer?
That's a good question, actually. Citizen parking inspector, potentially. Yeah.
What you're saying is somebody who has a job professionally but then offers personal opinions on a blog.
Yeah, well, being a journalist is bloody hard.
Yeah.
To be quite frank, I've tried. I wasn't very good at it. It was really very
difficult.
We used
to work for The Age at one stage.
Yeah. I was an editor at The Age, mostly looking after their blogs and such.
It's a Melbourne newspaper, for those of you listening far away. So what were you doing? Listening, doing blogs there?
Yeah, yeah. I was essentially the community editor. So which was rough code for looking after all of the different blogs. And okay. I think we went from, you know, kind of about 5 blogs to about 30. And
okay, now you haven't got much hair. Is that because of this particular?
No, the hair was missing previously. I think that's more to do with my grandfather than the job itself.
Yeah, I plead guilty to that too.
Convenient excuse. No, but it was a fantastic time at the age. I mean, we went from you know, kind of a few 25,000 kind of page impressions to hundreds of thousands of page impressions a week just on the blogs.
I think the blogs, well, I guess the journalistic side of things are going to take over. You can tell the journalistic pieces these days online because they throw tons of advertising at you before you even get to it. Whereas the blogs, you don't have this sort of dilemma, do you?
They've also got a very, very small four-letter word in the top left corner that says blog. Really small.
Oh, is that how that works? Is it
kind of grey?
Yeah. kind of white on white. So, yeah, I'm exaggerating slightly, but yeah, this is all part of this contentious issue. Yeah, about differentiating the two.
So, blogs aren't journalism, and they're not supposed to be. So, we shouldn't confuse the two. Is that
blogs are just a medium. I mean, blogs basically, you know, the epitome of Web 2. I mean,
yeah. On the other hand, though, there are situations where people. Ordinary people are the only people who are in the right place at the right time and get the story.
They do. Well, so do they get the story or do they get the photos? Do they get the video?
But the photo and the video is the story these days.
Well, no, it's not the story. The story is the thing that you read on a Saturday or when you're on the train, you're sitting back with it, you listen to professionals on the radio talking about. I mean, what we're talking about is media. When we're talking about citizen media, not citizen journalism.
Ah, okay. So citizen media.
Yeah.
So they get the photograph, they get the first impressions.
Yep.
When you look at an example of a blog, let's say, for example, there's a strife-torn region of the world of which there are plenty.
Yes.
And you get the citizen journalist who's sitting there looking out their window, writing into a blog what they're seeing. You know, it's an unsubstantiated, it's not credible, but yet it's an eyewitness account of what's going on.
Yeah, it's an eyewitness account. It's a story.
And in effect, that's where the blogs really come into their own, because if people read a blog and understand that that's what it's about, there shouldn't be any confusion.
Yeah. So we treat it for what it is rather than as journalism. Yeah.
But I guess that leads on to the next thing. Anyone can blog from, you know, the person, anyone, mums and dads, kids, absolutely anyone. Mm. There's got to be reasons for blogging. I guess a lot of people become passionate about things. Like I've said to my wife, because she goes off about green and turning things off with a PowerPoint, and she sees something on the news at night and it infuriates her, and I cop an earful and I said, "Dear, go and write a blog." And she looks at me with that blank look on her face.
Well, yeah, I mean, the number one question usually is who to, isn't it? I mean, is who's going to read it? And why should I do it if no one else is going to read it?
Well, that's a good question. So how do you write a blog that's going to be picked up? How do you get interest in the blog, like whether you start off the local cricket team or whether you go for global issues?
Well, that's the big question. And there's a whole heap of ways you can do it. With a site like EduBlogs, it's not too hard because they're all teachers on there. And so they just look at
each other. They have a common interest, don't they?
Yeah, totally. And more and more, I think that's what we're going to be seeing over the next few years.
Are we seeing groups starting to evolve? Like, does WordPress have groups and things like that? Or is it just like a big blogging session where we can create a blog?
At the moment, it's like that. It's very big.
Yep.
And so you've got sites like blogger.com, you've got WordPress, you've got TypePad, if you want to pay for it. Not I'm sure why you would. But
when it's free,
But you've got these sites which offer these great big services. But all of a sudden, we're starting to get sites like EduBlogs, or sites that are based around locations and cities and experience, or say, for example, being a mum or being a homeschooler, or all of those sorts of areas, and they're really growing in popularity.
Now, what about search engines? They're picking them up. They treat them as influential sites, don't they?
Google loves blogs, doesn't it?
Google loves niche blogs more than anything.
Yeah.
Niche blog? What's a niche blog?
Well, I mean, it's a blog which is focused around a particular area, a particular topic. I mean, say for example, parenting. I mean, you can you can go into an area of parenting and you can focus on it in such detail that a professional publication never would. It would never dream of going down that line.
So from a keyword point of view or a topic point of view, all the posts are on the same subject or on topic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you can get down to bottle feeding and different types of bottles that you use for bottle feeding. And you're actually guaranteeing yourself in that.
So you wouldn't just have a parenting blog. You might have a specific bottle feeding blog.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the benefit of that is that people can comment on them. They can write their own, but how does this work and why does that and what did you do there?
Although we're kind of talking a bit about pro-blogging there, probably. You know, kind of the idea of blogging for making money. idea of adding advertising, which isn't.
I think we'll talk about that very shortly, because that's one of the things that WordCamp's about, isn't it? I think, and we're not going to promote WordCamp because you're inundated at the moment.
not that inundated.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, we'll spruik a bit of that. Tell us about WordCamp. This is the first of its kind. Mm-hmm. It's going to be here in Melbourne. So people listening to us interstate, you need to book plane tickets for this.
Yeah, well, it's Australia's first WordCamp. Absolutely.
So what are you going to cover? What are we going to hear, see, do there?
We would have almost been the Southern Hemisphere's first WordCamp, but WordCamp Argentina, I think, is happening in a couple of days.
Oh, no way.
it's a bit of a geeky get-together, and it's basically...
Who goes?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out, won't we?
The bloggerati, presumably.
Possibly. but mainly those associated with WordPress. And we're talking about people who use WordPress, you know, for their business, for their personal sites, who hack it, who write code for it, who write plugins, who are interested in the future, who have used it for a long time. It's really, really about getting in, you know, kind of deep and dirty with other people who are, you know, experienced with it in the same way.
So part of it will be a chance to meet some of the people that you've encountered on the web and not had a chance to meet in real life, of course.
Oh, so it's a booze hub. It's a social get-together.
Yeah, we're running on a profit for beer model.
Oh, excellent.
So that any money that's left over, it's only $25 on the door, but any money that's left over goes onto the tab. So bring your friends.
Oh, sensational. And it's down at Darling Harbour, isn't it? Where have you got a website where people can go and have a look?
Victoria Harbour. It's
Darling Harbour. Whoops, wrong city.
Close.
The Docklands. Know. Sorry, I knew there was a harbour in it.
It's a little similar.
Near my place.
Yes, of course.
it's at melbourne.wordcamp.org. Mm-hmm. It's on Saturday the 17th. We were pretty worried about the election there for a while. But thankfully came in the week after, so it's a close one. We couldn't book out any of the church halls, I can tell you that.
I can imagine. There'd be a few polling booths around the place. But yeah. So your week before, 24th the election, isn't it?
Yeah, week before, 17th, so I guess it's 3.5 weeks or
something. So do people have to register? Do they go to the website and register?
They go to the WebCamp and they put themselves down as coming on the upcoming page. Mm-hmm. And we've got basically about 38 or so people coming now. We've got space for about 60. After that, we're going to have to shut it off.
Oh, okay. So get in early.
Yeah, pretty much. If you want to come along, then it would be a good idea to come along and put your name on now.
And rumour has it, it'll be a good after party.
That's certainly the plan.
James, thank you very much for coming in this evening and sharing your wealth of knowledge about WordPress. I've learned a lot. It's been terrific. We'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening.
Dr. Ron?
Here I am. Listening.
Residual powers. And I've got some residual powers.
You can't turn off CDMA.
In terms of the volume,
I understand. To give fingerprints. Now, this
we may have digressed.
Talk radio.
Bill Burgess also claimed the country would remain behind.
We used to think 600 kilometers
don't open
per second
was good that you're not expecting, even if they do a thing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Subscribing to the Tech Talk Radio podcast is so easy. It's child's play.
Podcasting's so easy, even my little brother can do it.
Step one, visit the iTunes Music Store and search for Tech Talk Radio in the podcast section. Step two, click subscribe and you're done. Now every week you'll be able to listen to Tech Talk Radio whenever, wherever and however you like. You could be mowing the lawn, on a train, in a car, on a plane, at work,
poor car visiting the relatives, child, washing the electricity.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Back again. Hello. Thank you very much to James for making the pilgrimage across one side of the river to the other to be with us here in the Tech Talk Radio studios tonight. Anyway, Dr. Ron, did you get anything out of that? You're a WordPress user. I thought that was terrific.
Indeed, I am a WordPress user. I'm a blogger and I'm an administrator of a WordPress server, so yeah. I did get a lot out of it.
Yeah. So
and the WordCamp sounds like a fantastic idea.
Absolutely. I have to go see if we can get along there and see what we can learn, because yes. There's some interesting people coming across. As you said, Alex Springs, Darren Rouse in particular, good for a listen, and Christina Dawes, Davis, all the way from New Zealand.
If you're wanting to pre-register for that, melbourne.wordcamp.org was the site.
Mm. Now, we were talking about security earlier on in the program, and one of our avid listeners has... call the Tech Talk Radio feedback number, the 1-300-664-882 number, and he actually, this is Michael, I think he actually left a message for us.
Okay, fellas, about backing up, I've been using Second Copy for about 6 months, having tried all the semantic rubbish and the Microsoft pathetic hole that you fall into. Second Copy is absolutely awesome. You can program to do whatever you like, when you like, and what you like. And the nice thing is you can use it in the, what I call the Fisher-Price mode, where it's like a toy. You can use it really simply, or you can use it really, really tricky ways so that when you turn the computer off, it will do an incremental backup or a totally unique backup, whatever you like. And it's not expensive and it's easy to program.
Not expensive and easy to program. That's got to be a big plus, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like the I like these programs that do have a simple wizard step-by-step mode, the Fisher-Price mode.
I'll have to remember. That's very good. Yes.
But, yeah, I do like to be able to get into the settings if I want to. So it sounds like a good one. It might be worth having
a look at. You have not heard of that one?
Hadn't come across that one, no.
Thank you, Michael, for sending that through. Yes, valid tip, because backing up is very, very, very... Can't explain how important it is. Leopard is now out. And hopefully, Australia, we got it last Friday, I think it was. It hit the stores. It was pretty quick.
I think it was a worldwide release at the same time.
iLife updates herald Leopard's arrival. You know, we talked about iLife when Justin was in of recent times.
Yep.
A set of updates for Apple's iLife suite delivers compatibility with Leopard. Are you listening to Tech Talk Radio? Andrew McComb, Dr. Ron, Graham Callaghan here in front of the microphone. We're going to take a break. Before we do go to that break, an email in from Cisco.
Uh-oh.
On the small screen device here.
Who did you offend at Cisco?
It's just Cisco. It says, hi, guys. I managed to listen to your crew for all of 15 minutes in the morning before I leave for work here in Oklahoma, USA. By the way, it's 5:07 here. What time is it there? I can't keep track of daylight savings and all between... And there's a typo there, what does it say? And all that between the two of us. There you go. Great listening to you guys. You always do a heck of a job. From Cisco, and then he's got his IP address. But anyway, that's...
The daylight saving thing has all just changed, of course.
It has, isn't it, between here and the United States?
Different time zones, yeah. To answer the question...
No, you can't do that. We're syndicated.
Oh, all right.
It's as they say in the classics, it's, 40 minutes past the hour.
There you go.
There'll be people setting their watches all over the place, all that sort of stuff, yeah. So, thereabouts. We're not going to be accurate about that. Anyway, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Have you heard something on Tech Talk Radio worth talking about? Are you looking to share your technical dilemmas or opinions with like-minded Tech Talk Radio listeners? Well, now you can. Introducing the Tech Talk Radio web forum. Visit forum.techtalkradio.com.au and join our community. It's free and on a web browser near you. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
We're back. We're back indeed. Tech Talk Radio, Graham, Dr. Ryan, myself, Andrew McComb, talking about the finer things in life, technology. We were talking about greenness earlier on before. Do you notice everyone's gone green? Qantas has gone green. You can buy carbon emissions.
Yeah, it's the...
Be very expensive to have carbon emissions for us, wouldn't it?
Everything's plugged in, yes.
Exactly, exactly. Now, Microsoft is revealing a cybercrime boom at the moment. Microsoft discovered some interesting new trends in cybercrime. The firm's research unit, which has been...
Against its product specifically or generally?
The firm's research unit, which has just released its 6-monthly security intelligence report, found that the number of attacks designed to steal personal information has risen and had cases of theft through social engineering. Yes. This is pretty common, I think, these days, isn't it? It's just one of these... It's like theft. Burglary is on the rampant.
It's exactly like theft.
And, you know, it's like make sure you lock your front door, isn't it? So that the people can't get in electronically and nick things off
your
machine.
Yes, the problem is that the guys that made the front door lock made it with flaws that other people could
Well, not that they deliberately made
to pick it.
You've got to be careful here. They didn't deliberately go ahead
say they deliberately did, but... Yeah, they accidentally made a lock that could be easily picked.
Yeah, yeah. So, and normally it's in browser. Browsers seem to be the weakest link, isn't it, into
Browsers are an obvious target. It's like when a burglar's trying to get into your house, they're going to try to come through the front door first because it's the most obvious target. And the browser is like the front door because it's what you use to go out and connect to other people's sites with.
Mm.
So it's an obvious way in. And email is another obvious way in.
All righty. We'll be back with the Oddspot gadget and all the rest of the stuff after this.
You're listening.
Dr. Ron?
Here I am. Listening.
Residual powers.
And I've got some residual powers.
You can't turn off CDMA.
In terms of the volume,
over a second to give fingerprints. Now, this
we may have digressed.
Talk radio.
Bill Burgess also claimed the country would remain behind.
We used to think 600 kilometres.
Don't open things that are as good as you're not expecting, even if they do a thing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Tech Talk Radio wants your feedback. Call the Tech Talk Radio feedback line or visit our website and tell us your thoughts on the show. Tell us your likes and dislikes, your technical dilemmas and program suggestions. Call 1300 664 882 and leave a voice message. That's 1300 664 882 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, and click on the feedback link.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Son of a...
Talk about wheel clamping technology in a future episode. We were having an offline discussion.
Oh dear.
And suddenly it's time for me to do the gadget of the week. JBL's CSP630 integrated home theater system.
I don't know what it is, but I want one.
Do you want one, Graham?
JBL. They used to make good audio stuff.
Exactly.
They still make good audio equipment. They've announced the introduction of the new Cinema Sound CSP630 integrated home theater system. It includes a DVD and receiver, a 5.1 channel loudspeaker package, a unified system remote control, and a pair of stylish matching speaker stands.
Sounds like a nice gadget to me.
It does.
Something for the Christmas stocking, potentially?
Well, hopefully. It offers a host of advanced features, including HDMI connectivity.
Well, we all need that.
Yes, with upscaling, playback compatibility with DivX encoded video discs, and USB ports to enable connection to a computer or a USB storage device.
Okay, now I really want one.
Can a female member of the species drive this, or is it a bit complex?
No, it's designed for home, lounge, fantastic, room use. Anyone can operate it. The CSP630 is available and has a recommended retail price of $1,999.
That's good, because a lot of people need office engineering degrees to drive some of these things, and it's really good when a manufacturer brings something out that everybody can use.
Indeed, yes. Well,
is it available now?
It is. You'd have to remortgage your home for it. It's a fairly modest outlay, I would have thought, for an integrated home theatre system. $19.99.
Gee, that's cheap at half the price.
Mm.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
In my time, I've been job hunting online. I think Andrew, Graham, not currently.
You got a good job at the moment. It's more holidays than I know what anyone can do.
Anyone can poke a stick at.
Are you a teacher, Dr. Ron?
Well, yes, next. I teach, I educate as part of my current role. Graham, you've been job hunting online, have you? Or
Not recently.
A lot of people
the boss
do.
Might be listening.
Yes. And we've spoken about websites like My Career and Career One and things like that on previous shows.
Yep.
Crackinterview.info.
Oh, yeah.
If for those of us that become nauseated just at the thought of having to attend a job interview, then this is the site for you. And if you're working in IT, you'll find that people working in IT move jobs frequently. I think the longest I've ever spent at any one job is 6 years. And that was as a developer, as a programmer.
6 years, that's a long time for you.
Well, it is. It is a long time for me personally. But it's a long time for IT professionals. You often move around a lot and you often have to go to a lot of different job interviews. If you're worried about facing a job interview, go to this website. They've got a whole knowledge bank of questions, common interview questions, and what appropriate responses might be. They help you to prepare for a job interview.
What's the URL?
The URL is crackinterview.info.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Missed it by that much.
I know nothing.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Scares me, this segment. Off you go, Dr. Ron.
Smoke alarms. We've all got them.
Yeah, of course we do.
You can have ionisation smoke alarms. You can have photoelectric smoke alarms. You know, they recommend you have different types to capture the different burning particles.
Maybe we should do a thing on smoke alarms.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
There's a whole science about smoke alarms. But here's a new one. Peanut, an Amazon parrot that imitates sounds, helped save its owner and the man's son from a house fire in Indiana by mimicking a smoke alarm. Shannon Conwell and his 9-year-old son had fallen asleep on the couch while watching television and awoke to find their home on fire after hearing Peanut, the parrot, in full voice. The fire destroyed a good portion of the house, but the Conwells, along with Peanut, escaped unharmed.
Good on you, Peanut. Was it a parrot that went eeyore?
That went beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, fantastic.
Good work, that parrot.
There you go. You hear it here on Tech Talk Radio.
Graham is without speech.
Yes, he's sitting in the corner nodding his head, and it's about that time where we should go.
And rocking backwards and forwards.
Yes. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Have that effect.
You have been listening to Tech Talk. Yes, they do, don't they? Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au is our feedback address. You can ring us on the 1-300-664-882 number for the cost of a local call anywhere in Australia except from a mobile phone. You have to ring this number, Dr. Ron.
90125362. Or you can send us a SMS at 0430582077.
It's been fantastic. We'll do this all again, same time, same channel, where you're listening to us around this great country or on the podcast. Until next week, it's bye for now.
Tech Talk Radio is brought to you each and every week by a band of dedicated professionals from within the broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer and host Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications, and podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night from 8 p.m. The crew wish to thank all the stations that take the show, including 3WBC, 3XX, Cairns FM, Highlands FM and Queer FM in Western Australia. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9018 9043 or visit the website techtalkradio.com.au for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.